Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. You are listening to a sermon from our series, Breaking Free of the World's Mold, a study of the book of James.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago, in a small conservative town where many of the citizens were Christian people, a tavern began to be built. Until this time, the town had been a dry town. There wasn't a tavern in the entire town. And bringing in this very first place of drinking into this village, well, it brought a lot of concern amongst the people. And one church decided to do what they could about it. They hosted an all-night prayer meeting to ask the Lord to miraculously intervene in the building of this tavern. Well, that very night, there was a really bad storm, and lightning came down and struck that tavern, starting it on fire. By the time they were able to put out the fire, it had literally been burned down to the ground. When the tavern owner heard about this all-night prayer meeting that went on at the church, he brought a lawsuit upon the church, claiming that they were responsible for the fire. In response, the Christians hired a lawyer claiming they were not responsible for the fire. And on the day when the court proceedings began, the judge, having heard the case, stated, "No matter how this case comes out, this one thing is clear. The tavern owner, he believes in the power of prayer, and the Christians do not." Do you believe in the power of prayer? Well, we all know the answer to the question, right? The answer is absolutely. We believe in the power of prayer. But do we? Do we really? Martin Luther certainly believed in the power of prayer. As we're celebrating the Reformation this weekend, he was once quoted as saying this, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." For most of us, we think, you know what, I've got so much to do this day, it's just going to have to be a quick prayer, it's going to have to be a quick devotion, and then I got to get to work. Martin Luther understood it this way, "The more I pray, the better things will go, even if I've got a lot to do, and the less I pray, the worse things are going to get." He certainly believed in the power of prayer. Today we're concluding our sermon series that we've been doing for the last 2 months entitled Breaking Out of the World's Mold as we have walked through these 5 chapters of the book of James. And this is what we're going to be talking about today, this idea of prayer. Now before we get into the text, I'll make Pastor Ryan, if he's listening from wherever he is, I'll make him real proud. We'll start out with some statistics. These are prayer statistics from the Bible. Did you know that prayer is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible? And depending on which translation you use, it actually is a few more. There are over 650 prayers recorded in the Bible. The Bible records 25 prayers that Jesus Christ prayed in his life. St. Paul mentions prayer over 40 times in his letters. And in the book that we've been studying in just 5 chapters, James talks about prayer anywhere from 10 to 12 times. That's a lot of prayer. Prayer is to play a huge part in your and my lives. Now, as we look in James chapter 5, the last chapter of this little book, it says that we are to pray on a number of different occasions. First of all, it tells us that we are to pray when we are suffering. When we are suffering, when things aren't going right, when we're in trouble, we are certainly supposed to pray. It says in James 5:13, "Is anyone among you in trouble? This is what you do. let them pray. This is what people all throughout the Bible did. Whenever they found themselves in a difficult situation, in trouble, whenever they were suffering, they learned to go before the Lord. King David in Psalm 4 said this, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." And then as you go through the Psalms, you see prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." When we're in a time of need, when we have things going wrong in our lives, and we all do, we are to go before the Lord, and we're to go before Him in confidence. What's that confidence based on? Well, it's certainly not based on ourselves, right? We know that as good Lutheran Christians, we know that we don't go before the Lord saying things like this, "God, because I've been so good, hear me." Because the truth is that none of us have been good enough. We all are a mixed bag. All of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do some good things, but we do a whole lot of bad as well. And Jesus isn't looking for good people. He says in the Sermon on the Mount that God is looking for perfect people, and none of us are even close. As it says in Romans 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." I don't go in confidence to the Lord in my time of trouble saying, "God, look at me. Look at how good I am. Because I'm so good, take care of me." Instead, I say, "Lord, look at Jesus. Look at what He's done. Look at His perfect life and His perfect death and His perfect resurrection, because I believe in Him." And the Bible says that when I place my faith in Him, that I get His perfection as a free gift. And God looks down on me with the same favor He looks on His Son. So I don't say, "God, look at me." I say, "God, please look at Jesus." And that's the confidence that I approach God with. And then I can take all of those promises of God, like in Psalm 145, I can take it to the bank where it says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways. He's faithful in all He does. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and He saves them." Then I know that God is going to listen to me. Then I know that He is going to be near to me when I call to Him, that He is going to hear my cry, that He is going to come to my rescue, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. And speaking of Jesus, when He came 2,000 years ago, He gave us even more to put our confidence in, where He said in John 16, "In that day, after I've ascended up into heaven and sent my Holy Spirit to you, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name, but ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Jesus said, there's going to be a day where I'm not going to be here with you, disciples. I'm going to be up in heaven. But if you ask the Father for whatever you need using my name, God, who loves me and wants to honor me, will hear your prayer and answer you, that I might receive glory and that your joy may be complete. That is a lot we can put our confidence in. What an amazing promise this is. So we can pray for ourselves whenever we're in trouble. We can pray for our neighbors, for our fellow Christians, whenever they're in trouble. And you know what? We can even pray for our whole country. Because I think there are a lot of us that are thinking that our country's kind of in a lot of trouble right now. And we have a great promise from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. All it takes is for Christian people to pray, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for others, whether it's for our country. And because of this great promise, we're going to have a prayer meeting on Election Day at noon for those that are able to join us. And if you're not able to join us, maybe you're at work or you're unable to come, then we just invite you to join us in prayer from wherever you are at noon as we pray for this country of ours. We certainly could take one of two very different paths coming up after this election. In Philippians chapter 4, it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What happens when we don't pray? We think it's all on us. We think that no one's going to help us with our problems. And what does that lead to? That leads to anxious thoughts. That leads to anxiety, crippling anxiety. But God tells us you don't have to. You don't have to. As soon as you start feeling those anxious thoughts start coming into your hearts and into your minds, go before the Lord in prayer. Pray through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And the most amazing thing happens when you do. A peace from God that transcends all of your understanding starts to flood over you. And that's God's will for you and me when we're going through these times of suffering. So the first place that we are to go before the Lord is whenever we are suffering, whenever we're in trouble. But we're also supposed to go before the Lord in prayer when we are satisfied, when everything's going well. We all take our turns going through problems and difficulties, but maybe you're not right now. Maybe everything's going well. Praise God. But that is a time also that God wants us to come before Him in prayer. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Martin Luther was also quoted as saying this, whenever we sing to the Lord, it's like we're praying twice. We're praying with our words and we're praying with our hearts. When you sing praise to the Lord, that's what you're doing. You're praying to God. You're saying thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. And that's perfectly appropriate. It's kind of sad, I think, that sometimes we use God kind of like an umbrella. We only bring Him out when it's raining, when it's storming. But the rest of the time, we just kind of keep it in the trunk or the back seat of the car. But we should bring out that umbrella even on the sunniest of days. We should call out to God when things are bad, but also call out to Him when things are good. This is my son Joshua. He's a senior this year, and I've been watching him play football since he was in third grade. And I tell you what, now that their season's over, I'm really going to miss watching him play football. But as you know, football is kind of a dangerous sport, and throughout this season, I watched a lot of his teammates and a lot of people on the other team go down with some pretty nasty injuries. And so as the dad of this kid that I love so much, as I'm up there in the stands, in between cheering, I'm praying constantly. I was praying all season long, and my prayers were like this, God, please send your angels, cover him in the blood of Jesus, protect him from injury. And also I would pray, and God, give him success in all that he does. And you know what? We got to the end of the season, and I realized God had heard those prayers. He got through the whole season, and the worst thing he had was some bruises on his arms and on his legs, but with no serious injuries. And God even gave him a whole lot of success. In their last game, he scored the 2 touchdowns for their team. And you know that next morning, I hate to say this, but the next morning, after their final game, and God had answered all my prayers, I started my quiet time that morning, and I had a whole new list of things that I wanted God to do for me and for my family and for my church family. And right before I started in on that whole new list, it's like the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, "You know what? Remember how good God was to you through this season? Why don't you take a few minutes to say thank you?" And so the first 10 to 15 minutes of my quiet time this last Wednesday was just telling him thank you. And like I said, that's the only appropriate thing to do. When God has been good to you, when he's answered prayers, when things are going well, it says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift comes down from him. And if that's true, then I got a lot to say thank you to him about. In Psalm 103, it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That means don't forget the things that he's done for you. Don't forget all the answered prayers, all the good things in your life. You don't have to just bring him out when it's raining. Call out to him and tell him thank you every once in a while. Especially tell him thank you for his greatest gifts that he gives to us. In verse 3, he says, "He forgives you all your sins." That is certainly something to tell him thank you for. And secondly, it says in Psalm 103, he heals all your diseases. And that leads us to the next S, that we are to go before the Lord. We're to go before him when we're suffering, when we're satisfied, and yes, when we're sick. We are to go before the Lord in prayer. Back to James 5, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." So when you're sick, when you've got that bad diagnosis, or whatever you've got is not seeming to go away, or maybe you've had a really terrible injury, whatever it is, God tells us, go before him. And one of the ways that he does that is he says, get other people to come with you before me, the leaders of your church. And then he gives us a great promise that goes along with it. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. This is the reason, because of these two verses, that we have monthly healing services here at St. John's. And the next monthly healing service is next Saturday. If you got a bad diagnosis, if you got bad news, or if you have been struggling with something, or maybe you've got an injury, come and join us next Saturday. The leaders of the church, the elders of the church will be there. They will be prayed up, and they will look forward to praying with you, trusting in God's promise from James chapter 5. I just wanted to focus just for a minute on this phrase that's up there in yellow, the prayer offered in faith. It says that when you go before the leaders of the church, they will offer a prayer in faith. Now, what is this prayer offered in faith? It's not something that just the elders and the pastors can do. Every one of us are called on to pray a prayer of faith. What does that look like? Well, here's kind of what it looks like. First of all, you find a promise in the Bible that relates to your situation. And I believe that there are promises in the Bible for every single situation that you and I find ourselves in. Then we remind ourselves of 2 Corinthians 1:20 that says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." In other words, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and have been baptized, then when you find a promise, guess whose it is? It's yours. And that's why it says, and so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So we find that promise and we say, Amen, that's mine. Then third, you go to God in prayer. You remind him of his promise. He loves it when you remind him of his promise. He doesn't take offense at that. Remind him of his promise and then ask him, based on that promise, for whatever you need. And then number four, thank God for hearing you after you finish that prayer, and then begin to worship him as you await your answer. As we say so often in our healing services, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know even when he's going to do it. But I know this, something is going to happen that wouldn't have happened if we didn't pray. Because God hears the prayers of his people. And so as we wait on him, and sometimes it takes a while, we worship him and we say, God, I know you're a God of your word. You don't break this promise, and this promise is mine in Christ Jesus. So I am taking it to the bank. I am trusting in you, and I'm going to worship you as I wait. That's a prayer offered in faith. That's what we want to do whenever we gather together to pray for people in the healing services. But that's something that we all can do. That's what God wants us to do, to offer up to him those prayers of faith. In the back, I've got a little sheet that looks like this. It says, God's promises regarding healing and my faith response. There's a number of those in the back. We'd invite you, if you're going through something difficult right now in your body, to grab one of those on your way out. It's basically what it's got. It's got a number of promises that God makes regarding healing in Scripture, and then a subsequent prayer afterward that you can pray, praying the prayer of faith, remembering what God's promises to you are. In James 5, verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Once again, is that righteousness my own? Do I say, God, because of my righteousness, hear my prayer? No, because the Bible tells us once again in Romans 3, this righteousness of God is not based upon our good works. It's based upon Jesus. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You see, God isn't so much looking at what you do, he's looking at what you believe. And if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then God calls you righteous. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective because God hears your prayers. This was life-changing for Martin Luther when he recognized this. He looked upon that passage from Romans 1:17 where it says, the righteous shall live by faith. And he realized that, oh, I have been spending my whole life trying to present my righteousness before God. But it's not that. It's the righteousness of Jesus and my faith in him that makes me righteous. And then James goes on to say, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. In other words, he's saying, Elijah was just like you. He was just like me. He wasn't some special super Christian. He was just like us. But he prayed a prayer in faith fervently to the Lord, and everything changed. And he says the same thing happens when we call out to God as well. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, what's that mean? Well, there are some sins that lead to sickness. There are. Not all sins, not all sicknesses come from sin. Most of our sicknesses that we go through are because we live in a fallen world where sickness just happens. But there are some things that we do that we shouldn't do that end up hurting our bodies. But here's the point. He's saying whether you're sick because you live in a sick world or whether you're sick because of something you did, when you go before the Lord and ask Him to help you and to heal you, it doesn't matter. God forgives you. He loves you. He wants to help you. That's the point. So James 5 tells us that we're to go before Him when we're suffering, when we're satisfied, when we're sick, and one last one, when we've sinned. And we all sin. You know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they did the absolute wrong thing. They ran away from God. But what does God want from us when we've sinned? He wants us to run back to Him. In the shame of Adam and Eve, they went and hid. And by nature, that's what we do too. We say, well, I've done all these bad things, and so God doesn't probably want to hear from me. No, He really does. He wants you to run back to Him and confess your sins to Him. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. God loves to hear our confessions. When we say, God, I blew it again. He's not mad. He's glad that you've come back to Him. And sometimes it's really helpful to confess our sins to each other. You can come in and confess to one of the pastors. Or you can find another Christian and confess to them. And then let them pray with you to the Father, asking for forgiveness, receiving that forgiveness, and then getting right back up and on the horse again. Here's our very important point for today. It's this. A Christian, by definition, is one who says yes to Jesus as Savior and as Lord. The first thing that a Christian does is a Christian recognizes that we've sinned, that we need a Savior. We recognize what the Bible says, that Jesus is that Savior, that He wants to be our Savior, that He wants to forgive us of all of our sins and give us a fresh new start. And we just simply say, yeah, okay, I'll take that, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. I say yes to You. Thank You for doing everything that was necessary on a cross 2,000 years ago. But then secondly, once we've done that, once we've received His forgiveness, we recognize this. He's giving us a new start, not so that we'll go back to the same old sins that we were doing before. He gave us a new start so that we can do something different, so that now we can live our lives for Him, so that we can say yes to Jesus every day. So the worst thing that any of us can do is say no to Jesus when He tells us to do something. That's sin. When we ask Him to forgive us, He gives us a fresh new start, and then He says, okay, now follow Me. Go and sin no more. And so then we begin our lives of following Him. We say, Lord, I'm sorry that I was not following You before, but now that You've forgiven me, I want to follow You today. Whatever You want for me, Jesus, yes. And then we just follow Him throughout our day. And every time we blow it, we go back to Him. We say yes to Jesus for forgiveness. And then yes to Him as not only Savior, but the Lord, the King, the one who runs my life. That's true life. That's what God wants every one of us to experience. Because we're all prone to wander, right? We're like that sheep that wanders off from our good shepherd, from the fold. And Jesus, our good shepherd, comes to get us and bring us back. And so we don't need to be concerned that he's going to be upset with us or angry with us. No, we just say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he readily gives that forgiveness and that fresh new start so that we can once again follow him. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, that's what we do, and someone should come along and bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. God wants us to be a family, to be accountable to one another as we're accountable to God. And that involves confessing our sins to each other and confessing to God and getting right back up and on that horse, following him once again. See, God wants us in constant communication with him. When we're suffering, when everything's going well, when we're sick, when we've sinned, there isn't a time that God doesn't want to hear from you and from me. And as we conclude the sermon series, Breaking Out of the World's Mold, as we conclude this awesome book of James, we remember that this is God's will for us, that we be in that constant communication with him. May God grant it to each one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.